Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, did you miss me? It's another episode of Serious Issues, a comic book podcast. My name is Andrew Levins. I've not updated the feed in a while. The Serious Issues Facebook group has been inundated with unapproved posts asking where the podcast is. I could have just answered them, but I didn't. There's just a stream of them waiting to be approved or denied. I like leaving people in limbo, but I thought it would be very evil of me not to do at least one last episode before the end of the year that was 2021. So this is going to be a best of 2021 in comics and manga special. I have multiple special guests that you're going to hear from throughout this episode, but joining me as co-host, frequent co-host of the podcast in the last year, you may know them from their podcast Wine Mums, and of course recent podcasts like our very good deep dive into JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the JoJolian chapter arc volume, I don't know, whatever. The important thing is that Chloe Cade is here. Welcome, Chloe.
Hello, everyone. Better be voting for the JoJo line special for podcast of the year. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's the
I'm
first
not sure
award.
About this award.
best episode of Serious Issues that most people tuned out of after 3 minutes. The JoJo Lion special that you, me, and Brian from Let's Fight a Boss hosted a couple months ago. That was certainly a highlight of my year. So I assume it was everyone who listened as well.
All six of us.
Chloe and I are going to, I've got a massive pile of comics and almost like, let's be real, it's all manga. But I've called upon a bunch of special guests to, who don't only read manga, some who also do, to make a couple of voice messages for us where they count down their favorite comics of the year. But we'll hear from them later. Right now it's the official awards. The first time we did a Serious Issues awards, it was me and Siobhan. And we decided to do it as a live event in a bar, and no one wanted to listen to us. So if you go back very early in the Serious Issues feed, you'll find a fantastic episode where Siobhan and I just tell people to shut the fuck up while we say what our favorite comics were for that year.
Didn't you also put like boxes and boxes of dollar comics in front of them as well?
Yeah, yeah. So there was like the room was, we got King's Comics to like bring along, I think it was like 50... long boxes full of comics that we sold for $1 each, which is like a dream to me, like booze and flicking through old comics, looking for a bargain. That's an ideal night out. Then you give like two semi-funny people 20 minutes to tell everyone to shut the fuck up around you. That's a perfect night out. But yeah, it was a funny breakdown of crowd. Some people who just came there for the comic book bargains, some people who came there just to drink, not really anyone who came there just for the episode. So it's a lot calmer this year. However, it feels like a decade ago, certainly multiple pandemics ago, that first live awards show. But we're not live, but we are doing awards. This is the Serious Issues Awards for 2021. I'm making up all the categories as I go along, because all of the comics in front of me are going to win an award. And I'm going to kick the awards off, the proceedings off, Chloe, with my award for best comic that I read that could also be used as a weapon. And that is going to go to Berserk Deluxe Edition, volumes 1-8, published by Dark Horse, by the fantastic and sorely missed, unfortunately passed away this year, Kentaro Miura.
Fuck yeah.
man, you've kind of grown up reading this, right, Chloe?
Yeah, since like early high school, I was reading Berserk, and obviously this year was kind of the tragic end to that series, but I suppose also it was a beautiful time to reminisce on the series. The final chapter we ever got for it as well was kind of equally tragically fitting as an ending, but there was also a larger amount of people who got into the series this year as well, so...
Myself included, yeah.
Yeah, great time just looking at all the art again as you sent it to me.
Yeah, so yeah, it is one of the kind of like all-time most beloved manga runs, even though it is, you know, in its current state kind of forever unfinished. I'm now, I think I've got maybe 6 volumes left, because yeah, I've read all 8 of the deluxe editions that have been published so far. I've got 9 on the way to me, which is very exciting. I'm going to reread that, but I picked up all of the volumes that haven't been collected yet digitally on the Dark Horse app. If you stay tuned to there, they actually have amazing deals on that Dark Horse digital app, especially around Cyber Monday, that time of year. And I think they do an all manga sale at some point earlier on in the year, so stay tuned for that. But I think all the volumes for like $2 each or something like that I didn't have yet. So it's a very, very cheap and legal way to read extremely high res official scans of the Berserk volumes. But I gotta say, even though I usually would kind of shy away from omnibus format for comic books, the deluxe editions of Berserk are just, it's the way this extremely epic, grueling, gritty, heartbreaking series should be read.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting them, but like, it's a lot, but also they're so good. They're so large. They're like brick sized.
Yeah, especially the double spreads are just there's so much power in them, you know.
But also not quite as large as like a big dumb comic omnibus, and that helps.
Yeah, you're right. But look, the important thing is that it can still be used as a weapon, and therefore it wins the best weapon / comic book of 2021. Berserk Deluxe Edition 1-8. I mean, you could absolutely kill up like more than 8 people with each of those volumes. So, you know, if you got
well
work, then it's doing
they
this,
won't
this
fall
new year.
Apart after
absolutely
being attacked.
Yeah. Your attackee's face might, but the comic will not. On to the next award, Chloe.
Woo! I think Levin's had more time than me to make these up, so I'm just doing this on the fly. But the
I'm also doing this on the fly.
Oh, okay. The award for most bullshit appeal in the year goes to Seven Seas releasing the classic manga collection of Kamen Rider and Himitsu Sentai Gurenga in the year that I got into tokusatsu.
Chloe, first of all, shout out your Twitter feed because it's pretty much exclusively Kamen Rider related content now.
You can follow me, Diddles MVP. It's just like art and takes I find there now. Despite the fact I watched a bit of Power Rangers as a kid, and you know what, as a kid, I hated Power Rangers. I mean, I still don't really watch Power Rangers, but this year, for some reason, after not having seen a single episode, I've at least seen more than I care to admit.
So Kamen Rider, when did it start? Was it a TV series first or a...
Yeah, so what was both about Super Sentai and Kamen Rider, the biggest tokusatsu properties, the Kamen Rider started in 71 and then Super Sentai was 76, both by Shotaro Ishinomori, who has done like so many classic series. He's up there with like... Honestly, Tezuka, Ken Ishikawa, Go Nagai for what he's done. He'd done like Cyborg 009, if you're more familiar with that. But he'd done a superhero series called Skullman, and that was really popular. But one of the Toei, I think, as they were just Toei, or just like a studio company, came up to Ishinomori specifically and went, can you write us a script for like a live-action TV show? And so he came up with Kamen Rider first as kind of like a bit of Skullman, a bit more. And then the same thing happened 5 years later when they asked him to do a team sort of series and he did Gurenga. And what happened was he wrote the original pitch for the series, which got taken. And then he basically wrote a manga adaptation, almost like his own spin, as just taking what was, you know, sort of lower budget TV shows and then taking that very simple idea and then just blowing them up. So, like, Kamen Rider is obviously suits and fighting in Japan, but then he took that, and when he wrote his own manga version of it, it's like a worldwide affair of fighting giant spiders in Berlin and then fucking off to America. And what Seven Seas has done after doing so many great stuff with, like, Space Battleship Yamato, stuff like that, Go No Guy's works, and also Lupin the Third had a collection this year I didn't get to read. We got...
Has that come out yet, properly? I really want to get that. I keep trying to... I've been scanning, like, online for it, but I can never find it.
Yeah, I think it's not, like, in bookstores, but it's out online, maybe? I don't know. The supply chain has been real fucked this year for some reason. Yeah.
It's the chip shortage. It's affecting manga now.
And yeah, so Seven Seas has taken these original manga for both Goranger and Kamen Rider, packages up all the issues in one, not quite as chunky, but still very chunky, nice hardback edition in this gorgeous sort of like A4 size volumes. And they rule, they're equally timeless, and that classic 70s appeal. There is, the art looks fantastic. I'm not sure if any of it ever got redone or it's just as it was in the 70s, because this is still some of the most kinetic, like, super enjoyable manga. It just flies off the pages, super kicks and transformations are flying around. If you have any interest in these series at all, if you just love that sort of classic manga, if you just want an in on it, maybe, if you just want a sizable brick, but not quite the brick of the Berserk volumes, mm-hmm. Shouting these out. Came out the perfect...
You could definitely break an arm with it. Maybe not smash on an entire head.
Yeah, yeah. It's like karate block level. It's fine.
And to give an update on the Lupin the Third Greatest Heists, the classic manga collection, it was released on the 21st of December. So it should be available everywhere now. And Seven Seas published that one too. So definitely try and track that one down. I'm super excited. It's all Monkey Punch's original stuff, which I know is very different to all the iterations of Lupin that I've seen in the anime. So I'm excited and a little bit trepidatious. So that's it for our first two awards. Going to Kamen Rider and Berserk so far. Chloe, I think it's time we take... We have our first guest to present her favorite comics of the year. We have the one and only Siobhan Coombs, of course, previous co-host of this podcast. She now runs Cockatoo Comics out of Sydney.
The real winner this year.
Yeah, started her own comic book store, which you can visit. Is it just cockatoocomics.com, I believe? That's something like that. She has all kinds of amazing independent comics and secondhand comics that you can buy from her store online. She's doing market stalls and stuff throughout Sydney too, so looking forward to watching Siobhan grow Cockatoo Comics. But for now, let's hear what her favorite comics of 2021 were.
Hello, Serious Issues fam, it's me, Shinbone. I miss you all, I love you all. I hope you're all doing well given the circumstances. 2021 was an incredible year for comics, so at least we have that, right? Here's my best of. Probably top of the list is Heaven, issue 1 by Katie Skelly, self-published. Katie Skelly's latest book, 4 Teenage Girls Investigate a Mysterious Strip Club. I mean, that's got me all over it. Brilliant. Bark Bark Girl by Michael Furler. This isn't really in any kind of order, but this is just my favorites. This was published by Pow Studios, however you want to say it. And it is about a foul-mouthed teenage slacker who keeps losing her dog. And it sort of talks about early webcomics culture and procrastination. And it just really appealed to me. And I think a lot of you will really get a lot out of it. 2020 by Annie Huang. Annie Huang is not just the other half of Cockatoo Comics. She's also a great comic creator in her own right, and 2020 is her first autobiographic novel. It's totally brilliant. Another locally produced comic, Still Alive, by Safdar Ahmed, which recounts his experience of doing art classes at Villawood Detention Centre. Every Australian should read it, but it's also just a great book. Really, there's so much work gone into it, and it is like beautiful to look at and hard and touching and yeah, really brilliant. Heaven No Hell by Michael DeForge. It's a collection of his short stories. if he puts something out in a year, it's going to be on my best of list. Get used to it. But it's really, really brilliant. And it's a great introduction to his work if you're not familiar with it already. Crash Site by Nathan Cowdery is a foul-mouthed, disgusting drug book, sort of a crime fiction thing about a sexy young cocaine smuggler who smuggles packages in her sweet little dog, and when they crash in the Amazon desert, bad things take place. Anyway, totally brilliant. Really enjoyed it. Stone Fruit by Li Lai is one of the most, like, moving pieces of fiction I've read probably ever. It is such a beautiful book about families and relationships, and I think it is sort of a beautiful love story. I loved it. I think that's probably my best of 2021 list. Sorry, I really ran through that, guys. But you should check out all of those books that I talked about. And if you're in Australia and if you're interested in any of these books, they are all available at cockatoocomics.com. And because I love you guys, there is a 10% off code you can use, which is just Serious Issues, to get 10% off your Cockatoo Comics order. Happy New Year and God bless.
Thanks, Shinbone. What a beautiful thing that you said that I haven't listened to yet. So if she insulted me for 3 minutes, the egg's going to be on my face. But hey, I got Chloe here. It's our 2021 Greatest Comic Awards of 2021 special. And I think it's time for me to award. This is a special award for the best ongoing series that I thought ended at the start of 2021, but actually it ended at the end of 2020. And of course, that goes to Chainsaw Man by Tatsuki Fujimoto. I can't believe it's been an entire year since that series finished with its 97th chapter. Of course, it is being collected via Viz Media through their Shonen Jump kind of paperbacks. I think they're up to the 7th volume now they've been publishing, and those have been really great too. I love those color covers on those. So rereading the series every couple months when a new volume comes out has been great. But I think that is one of the most satisfying end to a shonen manga I've ever read. And, you know, those series are kind of, very few of them are actually written with the intention of ever finishing. They are these things that kind of go forever and ever and ever until people stop reading it as much. So then they have to finish it, wrap things up. And I've read so many manga series that the endings was just so disappointing because I feel like the writer has no idea what to do. But Fujimoto, I mean, Chainsaw Man's story, he kind of hints at it not really being over, but this run, this first volume, ends on such an amazing note. Chloe, was it very satisfying for you?
Oh yeah, I still think about that. I think the weird thing about remembering where it is that it's neither died down in the cultural conscious even a little bit, and we've got part two coming sometime next year. I'm not sure whether it's like the first half or the second half, but like my Twitter feed is still just very good or very horny art, completely capturing that series appeal. It is, I wouldn't say not ruined other sort of shonen manga, but there was still something to it that was like, it felt incredibly special reading it every week, and without it, it's not quite the same. The Mondays aren't quite the same.
Yeah, it was such a good, like, especially like I feel like the last like 10 weeks were just so exciting. Like knowing that there was a new Chainsaw Man coming up was a real good time. So if you have not read it yet, it's a very, very achievable manga. It's less than 100 chapters, at least half the series is out in paperback format now. But check it out. I mean, if you have the Shonen Jump app, which, I mean, I haven't, it's not an official award this year because it's just going to keep winning it until anyone even attempts to be competitive towards what they offer. But the Shonen Jump, I think, is by far the best deal in digital comics across the world, I think. It's
best deal for $2.
$2 US a month. Yeah, or $2.99 Australian for us. Shonen Jump, it's just the best value. I can't think of any service that I pay for that comes close to offering what Shonen Jump offers. Even if you do fully stay up to date and you're only really reading the comics that are free each week anyway, I kind of feel like it's just worth your time just supporting these guys as you can, because I feel like it's like some of the most pirated artwork in the world. You may as well give back where you can to a great company. So that is my second award. Chloe, have you got a second award for us?
I have this series started in like 2019, but there was two new volumes this year, so it counts. Award goes to A Sign of Affection by Sue Morishita, which is a very lovely shoujo romance, which I have to say was maybe 50% of what I read this year, just really back on it. This is one of
mostly you took a step away from Magical Girl and just focused on the girl part.
Yeah. Just, it's a lot of the same writers, so it's the same wheelhouse. I'm not betraying anyone, but this stuff is a lot of the bread and butter, which I was sort of reading in high school as well, but something like A Sign of Affection, and a lot of what I've read this year as well, shout out to like Sweat and Soap and Wataku, just that a lot of the stuff getting released in English now is also focusing on like an older age demographic as well. There's a lot more things of like romances between college students and office workers. And let me tell you, a comfy office romance is where it's at. But A Sign of Affection is about a young college girl who is deaf, making her way through college when she sort of runs into this very charming international student in Japan who himself is like trilingual, I think, and has a love of languages. So they sort of hit it off as just sort of being very nice to each other. And this man's kind of interest in other languages also having something to do with her own sign language. And what blooms in this book is a very sweet romance, a very understanding romance, a very good book at like picturing the life of a deaf woman in Japan. A book with an older cast, a book that also like bucks a lot of the melodrama. Like there's the sort of old flame story and like a romantic rival, and most of it is just solved through talking and understanding each other's emotions. And the art is just so sweet. You got book set in like winter with snow, and it hits different. That's a sign of
that's attention. Great. Awesome. Yeah, the artwork looks great. I love the colorful covers too.
Oh yes, I think that was like what stuck out to me. It's like this nice, the first one was just like a nice pink on the shelf, and it's like that one.
I'm such a dumbass for like if it just has a nice colorful cover, I'm like, yeah, get this. Like, yeah. So we got two more awards in the can, two great awards.
How
I think
do we
the
do
awards
it?
For the awards for best awards so far go to us. Let's hear from another special guest. You may remember him from the aforementioned Jojolian special that we did earlier this year. He is much better known for being one of the hosts of the excellent Let's Fight a Boss podcast. And if you are looking for like the award for best of podcast, best of 21 podcast goes to Let's Fight a Boss's Game of the Year episode. Even if you don't play video games, hearing three close friends argue about their favorite games of the year for, including the pre-show, 5 hours, that's one of the highlights of my year. So, yeah, definitely check out Let's Fight a Boss. And here we have Brian from Let's Fight a Boss going through his favorite comics and manga of 2021. Take it away, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? This is Brian from the Let's Fight a Boss video game podcast. I was a guest on Serious Issues alongside Chloe from Wine Moms back in September, where we all talked about Jojolian and the ending of that series. And this has kind of led to me thinking about what other manga I enjoyed this year. And for sure, absolutely Jojolian. I love the ending of that. I think wrapping up a decade-long series like that and trying to get as much of it out in the open and kind of trying to stick that landing, that's a tricky thing to do. But I honestly thought the ending of Jojolian was fantastic. And it's been a few months now since it wrapped up, and I'm still kind of looking back on it, and I was definitely satisfied. A couple of other manga I enjoyed this year. There was one called Koko no Hito. This ran in the 2000s in Young Jump, which is where Gantz and Liar Game were also published. And I ended up reading this one because it's kind of a contemporary of theirs. It is about a climber who is alone in the world and doesn't fit into society. But when he's climbing a mountain, he is in his element. And it's about him practicing and training and eventually scaling the east face of K2, which is the second highest mountain in the world, but is also the most dangerous. And in real life, nobody has scaled the east face of K2. So it's kind of cool that it borrows from the real world like that. Then another oldie that I read is Homunculus, that also ran in the 2000s. That is about a salary man who lives on the fringes of society by his choice. And he sleeps in his car and ends up in a situation where he needs to settle a debt and volunteers himself for a experimental surgery, which opens up a hole in his mind and allows him to see humans for what they are. And any human with psychological damage or who has, I guess, emotional baggage or any sort of kind of traumatic history, he sees their true form. And it's kind of him just seeking out other individuals like him and kind of getting to the root of their problems. And then another series, and I think this one is probably my favorite. I'm only going to be talking about manga, by the way, because I think that's kind of my comics of choice. I'm sorry, Western comics. I don't read enough of you. But my favorite series this year has to be Jigan. I think this one wrapped up in November of this year. And it is about a cop who gets a power that turns his hand into a gun, which in retrospect is very on the nose and it's absolutely edgy bullshit to the max. But since then, it's certainly pivoted away from that. It's one of those things where every couple of chapters they're trying a new thing, and where it was in the earlier chapters is completely different to where it is now. And I think that's kind of what I'm enjoying most about Jigan. It's about the protagonist looking for other people who have powers like him, and they've all gained their powers from magical alien frogs. It's a very, very special series, and I highly recommend it if you're into some gourmet bullshit. I think that's all I got. Shang-Chi is pretty good if you're into comic books, if you're into Marvel stuff. Been reading some 90s X-Men. He teams up with the X-Men in issues 62 to 63, so I'm just reading that short story. Yeah, that's kind of it. I read a lot of other stuff, but it's not really worth talking about. Anyway, that's all I got. Goodbye.
Thanks, Brian, and a nice reminder to go check out Let's Fight a Boss podcast. Something else, I mean, usually it's just manga that Chloe puts me onto, but Let's Fight a Boss was a podcast that you recommended to me about 2 years ago, and I've been addicted. About a year after you pestered me in that first moment, yeah. I've been listening. I think I first started listening to their Game of the Year episode last year, and it's a great way to get hooked. I highly recommend that Pass podcast if you are looking for a new one. Okay, we're still giving out very serious awards, and you know what? I'm going to give out this very cool award. This award goes to coolest IRL interaction I had with a legendary manga creator in 2021. And this isn't even like a name drop story. I can do those too. This is just an insane thing that happened to me that it just makes no sense. I think the first person I told about this as it happened was you, Chloe. About a month and a half ago, my mom is a cardiac nurse. So she works at a hospital in Sydney. She only works like 2 days a week. And one of the days, someone happened across her path. She sent me a text saying, "Do you have any manga comics by Tetsuya Totsuka?" And I Googled that name straight away. First I laughed at mum's spelling of the word manga. She's put an extra N in there. Very funny. Tetsuya Totsuka is actually the real name of a famous mangaka whose name is Tetsu Kariya. He is the author of a manga series called Oishinbo, which I think is one of the most famous, not even just manga, like comics, books about food in history. And actually one of the most popular, highest selling manga series ever. It's been, it was published for over 30 years. There was 111 volumes and it sold more than 135 million copies. I think it's in the top 10 of highest selling manga series of all time. And crazily, I had no idea, but Tetsu Kariya, the mangaka, the writer, of Oishinbo, he moved to Sydney in the early 90s. So my mom sent a text to me saying, do you have any manga by this guy? And I said, I've got the first volume of his manga called Oishinbo. It's a food manga. And my mom said, lovely man, he is my patient today. And I just wrote back, what? Mom, what the hell? Having no idea that this guy whose book I've had on my shelf, I think my wife and I worked out that it's the first manga I ever purchased. Rather, she purchased it for me the first year we were dating back in 2008. He's been living in Australia since the 90s. And in fact, even though like there's only been 7 or 8 volumes of Oishinbo that have been collected for Western release, as he continued to write it throughout the 90s and 2000s, he actually had multiple arcs set in Australia featuring like Australian restaurants and chefs that actually exist. And all those Australian restaurants would see like big bumps in tourism. Whoa. So like lots of Japanese visitors whenever he featured them, just showing how popular his and how like influential his manga series is. So I wrote, you know, Mom, I can't believe it that's an actual legend you have that you're looking after today. For God's sake, make sure his heart doesn't stop. And Mom said, she said, oh, I gave him your address. And then so a week later in the post comes Oishinbo a la carte. I think the fifth or sixth volume, which is called Fish, Sushi, and Sashimi, and signed by Tetsu Kariya, made out to me, a truly beautiful gift and of a bizarre and unexpected moment. So I sent him back something that he will definitely appreciate considerably less than the gift he sent me. I sent him a signed copy of my first children's book, Nelson Pumpkins and Aliens. I'm pretty sure he has grandchildren, so maybe he can read it with them. Man, what a wild story. And like, it just, my mom is just like the nicest person ever. So of course this happened because of her niceness, but, shouts to my mom, best mom of 2021. And also best story that I have to tell people from 2021. So everyone go read Oishinbo. They're all very, very cheap if you look for them online.
They're always in Dimmicks and like QBDs and big bookstores as well. So they're always around.
I found them all for like $14 a volume. So I now own all of them, which is great. And not only do I own all of them, but I also had to buy them, then wrap them, and then give them to myself on Christmas Day, which is always a fun experience. All right, time for your third award, Chloe. Go.
Time for Nothing Else Seems That Cool After That. So I'll just go with one I didn't really have an idea for anyway. Frieren.
Great award.
Thank you. I worked really hard on it. Frieren Beyond Journey's End by Kanehito Yamada and Tsukasa Abe is a fantasy book, but hear me out, a good one. This starts with a very sort of like classic Dungeons and Dragons fantasy approach. A team of like an elf, a human, a little dwarf, a paladin head off into the world. They fight the evil, they win, they're celebrated as heroes. And then it cuts to 50 years later where everyone's gone this separate paths, and the elf of their party, our protagonist, is dealing with the fact that, as in most mythology, elves live a lot longer than everyone else. So 50 years pass and she meets up with her band again as one of them has just passed away from old age. And what kicks off this story then is this beautiful journey of like, not so much self-discovery, but almost, and like finding one's place in the world, as she sort of meets with her companions for the, what would be the last time before she wouldn't see them again. And then heading off to sort of fulfill their last wishes as they've passed on, and she's have to come to terms with like what her new sort of semi-immortal life goes from here. And it goes towards her like taking on an apprentice that one of them used to know, and sort of just going out to the world. What is sort of a series that is almost episodic in a way, but always has that really strong through line. It is it does a lot of what I love, which is like taking classic tropes, in this case, classic fantasy tropes, and it'll wring like the most emotion out of everything with the most human aspects. It has a great dynamic in the center of this elf and this, like I said, young apprentice she takes on. Was just someone one of her party used to know. And it always has the most beautiful art. I think, like, for a book that is weekly, the substantial quality of the art is in, like, incredible double-page spreads and just pages and pages of just silent art that are able to just tell all the emotions. It's really something. I think if you love fantasy, if you love those really human stories, if you just love good art, I think it's, like, a surefire hit. And I think it is. Like, I think it's selling really well for just its first volume, which is out now. Came out, like, a couple of months ago from Viz.
Cool. So, yeah, in my head, I'm always like, I hate fantasy, but then I've read Berserk this year, and it's one of my best favorite things ever, and it is, without a doubt, a fantasy story. So, I think I like fantasy now. I don't know.
Return of the Fantasy 2021.
So, maybe I'll check that one out, too. Let's hear from another special guest. She has been a special guest on this podcast, plus Chloe's podcast, Wine Mums, as well as other friends of the show, like the Comics Deserve Better podcast. We have Rebecca Hart, who was last seen on this podcast, I think reviewing X of Swords, which she reviewed with Jake, who we'll hear from a bit later in the show as well. But let's hear what her favorite comics of 2021 were right now.
Hi, Serious Issues. It's Rebecca. So, starting off for favourite comics of the year with one that you might not expect me to pick, and it's called Stray Dogs, and it is by My Little Pony artists Tony Fleeks and Trish Forstner. They describe it as Lady and the Tramp meets Silence of the Lambs, and that's exactly what you get. Really cute dogs, drawn in very sort of Don Bluth style, crossed with horror. That's Image Comics, and I think went pretty under the radar for DC, Superman, and The Authority, obviously. that's Grant Morrison, and it is Superman, older, makes a mistake, and assembles a new authority which will complement his waning skill levels, and it pulls Manchester Black in, who's from the Elite, which was a piss take of the Authority, and the Authority was obviously a satire on DC Comics. So he pulls this all together, and it leads off into Action Comics, which is also really good at the moment. So very much recommend that. On the Marvel side, Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil, right through to Devil's Reign, great fun. Al Ewing's Guardians of the Galaxy for its beautiful work on Star-Lord and Nova. And I think Christopher Cantwell's Iron Man run's been very good. Kang the Conqueror that you covered, extremely good, just finished. Really good intro to a character that has a crazy history in comics. And Jed McKay's Moon Knight. And we should also mention Captain America Iron Man, which came in right at the end of the year and was clearly made just for me. The Marvel ones, I haven't given you all the things on because I didn't have much time, and very much think you should read them all. Okay, take care. Bye-bye, and Happy New Year.
Amazing list. Yet another fantastic collection
just
of words
out of the park
that I didn't listen to before putting this episode together. So don't let me down, Rebecca. I assume you didn't. Obviously you didn't. We're up to our fourth award of the episode, Chloe, and just having a look at all these awards in front of me. Yep. Let's do Best Shonen Jump Series. Currently being published. This is one. Not ever. Currently. Because it gets trickier and trickier each year, I feel. I guess we can just kind of go through which ones we actually still read now, which ones we're enjoying, which ones we're not enjoying. Because Shonen Jump, I think, you know, one of the most influential ongoing manga compilations each week that, you know, is aimed at teenage boys, but is very, very wide. It's a lot wider reaching in its scope than it used to be, that's for sure. Obviously, the main reason Chloe and I are reading it each week is to keep up with One Piece, which we are both great fans of. I think One Piece had an amazing year. The Wano arc has, you know, it still feels like it has so much steam in it. but I think it had a lot of excellent fights and great character moments this year, which is the reason, you know, you read a shonen manga. Did you enjoy One Piece this year? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I just think like there have been so many great moments for so many of our favorite characters. I feel like all the Straw Hats, the core kind of 8 to 9 members, have had excellent moments this year, and the ones that haven't had as big a focus as the others, I'm sure, are coming up early next year. But we had like a scare at the beginning of the year with Oda's health. I think he had to take a couple of weeks off, but he's all good, and the comic, the artwork looks better than ever, I reckon. So great year for One Piece. Here are my favorite Shonen Jump stories. Oh, sorry, manga that's coming out, like either in Shonen Jump week to week or in Shonen Jump Plus. So Spy Family, Kaiju number 8, Jujutsu Kaisen, One Piece, and Sakamoto Days, which is like 50 something chapters in, and started as a kind of like more of a gag manga where it's like this like ex assassin who was previously like the best assassin in the world, who is now an overweight convenience store clerk, and he basically, a hit gets put on him, and it leads to him having to constantly get into interactions with people from his past. It's very violent, it's very funny. I think it's a really, really great series and probably the best newer series in Shonen Jump. Certainly one that I don't live in fear of being cancelled constantly. I'm also quite behind on Witch Watch, which, Chloe, I know you're a big fan of.
I was going to say that's my big hit of the year, that I am constantly in fear of being cancelled because I can't trust anything anymore. But that is the sweetest comedy going on. Well, I don't know. The sweetest comedy this year that's come out, because Spy Family, spoiler alert, I think gets my nod for the best shonen current serialization this year. But Witch Watch warms my heart every single week. It's got that nice bit of romance, nice bit of action.
I caught up on Spy Family. I was behind, and man, the current arc on the boat was just so much fun. One of the best. If you are always like, God, I wish they would shut up about manga. Well, for one, I want to let you know that you're about 40 minutes into an all manga episode. And for two, maybe I think Spy Family is a great first, my first manga, for anyone who has not dipped their toe in the water yet.
Big anime coming next year too, so that's going to boost that shit. Yeah, you can read it before it gets big. Trust us, you read it now.
Very true.
You were there before it all happened.
And Kaiju number 8, another very solid series as well. I know I mentioned it earlier, but great art, great story. It comes out like it's like the least regular out of all those. It's maybe like you think you get 2 to 3 a month, but it's a solid series, that's for sure. And now the award for Shonen Jump series that is like just totally fine. I have very little emotion for, but I still read it every week, and that is Dr. Stone, a series that started out really strong, and is now kind of like, it just feels like we're approaching the end. And it's fine. Like, the art's still pretty good, and there's some funny moments in it. It's kind of like loosely about, instead of solving problems with fighting, they solve problems with science. They've been trapped in stone for thousands of years, and then they come out and they have to basically reinvent everything from scratch. It's a fun premise, but it's kind of, I feel like it's running on fumes sometimes. But look, hey, not a too dishonorable award. Unlike the next award, which is a series that I actively dislike, however, have read well over 300 chapters of and still keep up with every single week. And that award goes to My Hero Academia. I don't know why I read it, but I do. And it never makes me feel good. And I think I hate it. And they had, man, some of the chapters, I know it's immensely popular. People love this series. I find the anime even worse. But I know a lot of people's biggest problem with Demon Slayer is how much Tanjiro cries. And I would say the crying in My Hero Academia is even more ridiculously over the top. There was one arc where people just like apologized to Deku, the main character from My Hero Academia. And I swear over the course of 3 weeks, he just didn't not have tears in his eyes. And it was so melodramatic and stupid. I just, yeah, I sent you that chapter just like saying like, this is, yeah, this is how bad this series can get, man. Yeah. No good. Sorry, My Hero Academia fans. I know there are millions of you, but I don't know why. I also don't know why I read it every single week. So I'm part of the problem. Maybe you all are too. So those are my Shonen Jump related awards. Chloe, your fourth award.
Oh, you won't like this one. This is the Betrayal Award. The I read some comics in the last month award.
Quite specifically. Good for you. I really wanted to be like, oh, I also read some comics, but I couldn't remember any of them. I read a Batman one.
That's probably the worst one to choose. Yeah. So I can feel confident in this one that I haven't listened to Rebecca's or Jake's, but they've probably both got a lot of these on there. So I will just run through some ones I read really quickly. Swamp Thing by Ram V and Mike Perkins. This is maybe my favorite comic of the year. Ram V is such a superstar from These Savage Shores and The Many Deaths of Layla Starr, which I haven't got to, but really want to. But this Swamp Thing...
Yeah, I heard great things about that. They raved about that on Comics Deserve Better.
Yeah. Good pod. Adjacent pod of the year award. Comics category.
I'll allow it.
And yeah, Swamp Thing is like maybe the best Swamp Thing since the original Alan Moore run. And this is just the best of DC Supernatural, the best of Ram V's incredible storytelling, and there's such a big part of this on change and the power of ideas and what ideas can do to change people and vice versa. And Mike Perkins just killing it like it's Vertigo all over again. It's really something.
Cool.
Yeah, I think like anyone can get into that. The new Moon Knight series, Jed McKay, Alessandra Capuccio, Rochelle Rosenberg. Obviously, Moon Knight, pretty important to me. This is like one of the smartest decisions for this character since the Jeff Lemire run, and just something so tangibly Moon Knight, yet moving that character forward in such a deeply introspective way that is also maybe the coolest he's ever been. He's running like his own church support network in New York, just hanging out, sitting in plastic chairs. It's a good time. The Good Asian by Pornsack. He did Infidel, if you remember that incredible comic.
Okay.
Yeah, this is his new book, which I'm specifically giving out to Levens because this is. Has the art, you can just say it's got the art, the cover artist of 100 Bullets, which I don't remember the name of that cover artist, but that just gives you the vibe. This is just such a, just a classic, like, you know, killer early 2000s feeling crime comic that obviously is more relevant with its focus on the...
Does it have artwork by Eduardo Risso? Or...
No, just the covers, I believe.
Just looks like it. Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. So this is set in like 1936 with the ban on Chinese immigrants and those who were sort of left in the country, and this big crime story of like death in the Chinatown and the boiling problems with the, you know, white American government. Just a good crime story at its heart while also being intensely well-researched and super hard-hitting. Good stuff.
Yeah, exciting. How cool.
Comics? Seems they're still doing all right, even if I don't check in on them much.
There's definitely been... I've been reading a few of the... like a few different best comics of the year and going like, I should read that, I should read that, I should read that, etc. Yeah, there's a lot for me to catch up on, but there's also a lot of manga for me to catch up on. So it's hard to get in, you know, justify these non-Japanese comics. So we heard from Rebecca earlier. I forgot to shout out her Twitter account, which is Arbitrary Genius, if you want to follow her musings on comic books. And when she was last on the show, she was joined by a friend of ours, Jake Fortier. And they can be found on Twitter at Krakoan Mimosa is their Twitter handle. First of all, we're going to find out if they said all the comics that Chloe just said. If
relying on Rebecca and Jake here. Don't fail me.
Let's go. Let's find out. So let's find out what Jake Fortier's comics of 2021 were.
Hey, y'all. Hope you're having a happy holidays if you celebrate. and a happy new year, staying safe and healthy wherever you are. This is Jake. Just wanted to go ahead and send a little something over to talk about my favorite comic of 2021. 2021 was a really good year for comics. I feel like we say that every single year because every single year comics just seem to get better. So it makes being a fan even easier. But even with all these great comics this year, the one that found its way into my heart and ended up being my favorite was one that when they announced it, sounded like a book that was absolutely not for me. The marketing behind it, the creative team, everything about it seemed to just spell out, hey, this is a book that's not for me, I'm just going to skip this one. And that book is The Joker by James Tynion IV and Gullan March, as well as Francesco Francavilla on certain issues. And the reason it just didn't seem for me is because, I mean, come on, it's a Joker book. Just the very concept of a solo ongoing Joker books is just so antithetical to everything I like about comics that it just, I don't know, I was immediately put off by it. Also, Gullan March is someone whose art has always been, it kind of leans towards cheesecake a little bit more than I like. So just, it was a combination that wasn't for me. But then the book came out and they tricked you because it's not a Joker book. It's a Jim Gordon book. It just has Joker on the front cover. And it's all about Jim Gordon going ahead and he's been hired by the secret organization to hunt down and kill the Joker. And so it ends up being a book that's about his internal struggle with, hey, should I actually kill the Joker? And it's much more reflective of his life because he's no longer the police commissioner. He's retired. And it just gets into him reflecting on his life choices, as well as this moral struggle on, hey, is it actually okay for me to kill the Joker? Meanwhile, the part that does focus on the Joker is all about exploring this criminal underworld and fleshing out all of these different things that, of course, they would have to exist in DC Comics in order for other things to happen, but just seeing them get explored is really cool. For instance, they have this whole thing about a resort for villains to basically lie low every time they go up against Batman and kind of fail. There's this resort where they can kind of go to and just kind of hide out and lay low while the heat kind of dies down on them. And just different things like that, exploring the criminal underworld. Gillen's March's art, I kind of shit on it a little bit earlier, but it's some of his career best. And some of the panel work and just shots from it are kind of amazing. I'm sure you probably, if you're a comic book fan, you probably have seen the shot where it's James Gordon at his son's grave while this huge superimposing Joker stands over him. And yeah, it was just a really pleasant surprise. There's a lot of goofiness to it too. There's basically the family from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in it, just as characters that James Tynion was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm putting it in. But yeah, it ended up being a really enjoyable book that I actually really highly recommend if you're a DC fan to definitely go check it out. Definitely was one of my most enjoyable reads of the year. Quick shout out to Swamp Thing as well as my other favorite book, but I have a feeling that Chloe might be bringing that. If she doesn't weep out and bring a bunch of manga. But yeah, I hope y'all have had a healthy, safe, and great 2021. And if you didn't, I hope you have a good one in 2022. And hey, the future's looking bright for comics, as it always does.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Cool. We are back. Thank you, Jake. I think I'm running out of dumb things. You know what? I've definitely got a.
It's just one more.
Off the cuff. Oh, okay. I have a few more. I have one stupid one that I can give. Okay. This is unbelievably stupid series that didn't deserve a beautiful hardcover collection, but now that it exists, I'm so happy. And that is Fist of the North Star, story by Buronson and art by Tetsuo Hara. Legendary, violent, stupid series. Essentially, it's like manga Mad Max, like post-apocalypse, but there's like guys that have like incredible martial arts skills that can like blow up heads by touching them. You know, it's a beautifully drawn series, but it's a pretty hilarious, just standard violent 80s manga. It was legendary at the time, as was the anime series and the video games and pachinko machines that its legacy leaves. But I've never read this series, and Viz this year started releasing hardcover volumes of it, and they are amazing. They are such beautiful, like oversized hardcovers with like color pages, but it's one color. So you have like these amazing kind of sheens of red, you know, and you know that when there's blood, there's blood. It's a beautiful collection. The story is like, it's not really stupid. It's just very funny. It's like, I guess kind of, you know, bro-y action. But I love it. And this is a great way to read this legendary series, which inspired JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and many, many other incredible works of art since. You got one last reward for us, Chloe? All right,
I can end this up with the Love is Still Not Dead award, because I didn't have a name for this one. This one goes out to Skip and Loafer by Misaki Takamatsu. This is out by Seven Seas. Did start printing this year, so it's on the money. This is another very sweet comedy romance about like a Japanese girl from the rural country starting in Tokyo after sort of like a scholarship. She's heading into Tokyo to go to a sort of prestigious school and absolutely just fucks it up on her first day there, but is sort of saved by the resident sort of loafer, this just not a care in the world dude who helps her out through her first day. And from there, while she's kind of sort of at the bottom of the social rung, it's just about her making friends and having a good time, and which I think is to the series' best credit, that these first two volumes are just kind of focused on those really funny friendships that are being built, some really good comedy, some really sweet moments about, you know, teenage life and pressures. And only at the end of volume two does it sort of see the romance that ahead that always helps you already get invested in it. And it is just, I'm just really surprised. I like heard it got an anime adaptation, so I picked up the manga and I was just totally blown away by how funny it was, how sweet it was. And the art is fantastic. It's just like,
yeah, sick
romance, just real sweet this year. So
what was the name of that award again?
Man, I don't remember that far. I was like, romance isn't dead. I think I was just, let's go with that. That's what I said.
Good award. Good award. Thank you. Sure. Actually, you know, I thought of one last award that we should give out, and that is Best Publisher.
Oh yeah.
And I think there is no other publisher that we should really like they kind of win it every year if you're into manga, just because they have the licenses for, you know, some of the biggest things. But I think I have to give a special shout out to Viz Media, because not only do they publish a lot of great stuff, but for the most part, their collections and the were just so, like, there's so much care goes into the presentation. You get so many, like a Junji Ito book, for example, Sensor, came out this year, and it's in like this kind of petite hardcover with a gatefold cover that's got like gold leaf printing for the name and Junji Ito, and then the back cover as well. Which just looks great. You know, I think, you know, if you're a comic book reader, you're also a collector, but there's so many things that are always vying for your attention as a collector. And I think Viz are very, very good at going, well, I put the effort in to make sure, like, if you just buy the first volume, you're going to want to complete the collection. But also they will do cheap ones as well. So if it is like a Shonen Jump ongoing series, you know, those are generally like around the $10 US mark. You know, you can find them pretty easily. in Australia for like $12-$13 a volume, which is great for people wanting to get into it. But yeah, I loved the Censor release, the Junji Ito book. I loved Teo Matsumoto's number 5, volume 1, which is not gold leaf. It's like crazy metallic rainbow leaf.
It's like psychedelic almost, and it's the way it appears.
I think that's one of my favorite releases of the year, just in terms of presentation. They finished Naoki Urasawa's 20th and 21st Century Boys. They've been putting out the what are they called? The perfect editions of those, which are these great oversized soft covers that contain two volumes in it. And the final one of 21st Century Boys is just such a knockout looking release. The front cover is amazing of the boys, the titular 21st Century Boys playing guitar on the front cover. Love it. They put out, like, speaking of Urasawa, I feel like all the Asadora collections are really gorgeous as well.
Yeah. That probably got if I remembered.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's a brilliant series that everyone should be reading. I have to dock Viz one point, though, because I got very used to them re-releasing all of Rumiko Takahashi's work in oversized soft cover format. So the Mermaid Saga books, which we loved this year, Maison Ikkoku, both great series that got these excellent oversized soft cover with like a kind of semi-gatefold, like fold-out things with extra art on them. Just like really nice big art. They've started releasing Mao, which is another of Rumiko Takahashi's series. And it's just a typical, you know, smaller $10 soft cover format, which, you know, it's great if you want to get in on some Rumiko Takahashi for cheap. This exists, but I got kind of used to all of her series existing in this kind of oversized format and hoped to collect all of it. I still will, but it would be nice if they were all nice and big. Do you agree?
On best publisher or just the sad state of Mao?
You can say both.
I think I might want to give it to Seven Seas this year just because they kept releasing things specifically to my taste.
That's also very important. Very true. More publishers to do that.
Exactly. I mean, like, there's a lot of great... Skip and Loafer was from them. The Kamen Rider collections. Super Women in Love came out this year, which is, you know... Kamen Rider love story, but with a lesbian love story between a fictionalized protagonist and antagonist. That's good. You know, it's actually been pretty good for all of them, honestly. Kodansha has done a lot this year. Dock them 1 point because there is a manga coming up being released next year that has been online, you know, in a scanlation format as Ranger Reject, which is a pretty good name. That comes out next year is Go Go Loser Ranger, which is an atrocious name.
I love that. Are you kidding me?
I won't stand for it. But apart from that, good stuff.
Go Go Loser Ranger. That's amazing. I'll also give a shout out to Denpa for putting out the Kaiji manga. I think they managed to release one more volume of those. I think they suffered a lot from COVID delays. But the third volume of Kaiji, Gambling Apocalypse, Volume 3, comes out in a couple of days. So get on that. That's a great series. In fact, I just realized one very important award is the best old series that I read in 2021. Because I do have like this like never-ending list of you know, classic beloved manga series that I'm trying to get through before my life ends. And there've been some amazing years. I feel like 1 year I read all of One Piece. That was a pretty incredible year. Last year I think I read all of Dragon Ball, I read all of Kaiji and Akagi. That was when I went heavy on that stuff. That was great. But this year is pretty crazy for my like big series that I read. So I read all of Full Metal Alchemist. I read all 9 volumes of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I read Beck, the music manga by Harold Sakaishi. I read all of Revolutionary Girl Utena, and I read all of Death Note, and I'm almost finished Berserk. So pretty incredible list of legendary manga. And now I have the very difficult position where I have to say which of those is my favorite. Chloe, do you want to take a guess what was my favorite of those?
It it's going to be a tough choice, I think, between Berserk or Full Metal Alchemist, and I can't quite tell, if I'm honest.
You would be wrong, my friend. Oh, very, very wrong. Because for me, easily my favorite of those series is Beck.
Ah, yeah. Fair enough. That's very fair.
I think that is the most excited I've ever been reading anything. I didn't do anything except read Beck once I got to, like, volume 11. I think it's like 40 volumes long. I just found the pacing of that so addictive. The story so fun. It's a little bit of its time, so some of the racial stuff in it is a little dated, but not in an overtly bad way, I don't think. I had such a good time reading that series.
One of the greatest endings when you get to, once they get to America, and it's just like, yep. It's a new level of hype from there.
Yeah. It just keeps going to all the festival stuff. They're like, what a fucking perfect book. I have been eyeing off an $1,000 collection of all of the action figures from Beck.
Cool. Fuck.
They made, like, it's all of them, all the band members, and they all have, like, little plastic instruments, which are way more expensive than the action figures themselves because they're full, like replicas of the instruments. Very cool. Very dangerous if you're an idiot like me. One day I'll do it. Maybe I'll be sad on New Year's Eve tonight, and that's what I'll do. I'm going to do it, Chloe. For my 2021 Old Manga of the Year award, it goes to Beck. Thank you so much for listening. Chloe, how many Wine Moms episodes did you do this year?
At least two, but I wouldn't go more than four.
Okay, well done.
It's either our lowest or our most. It's hard to tell with us. We do have a best of the year coming up.
Great.
Yes, that'll be
the end of 2022. You'll put up the best of 2021.
We always do it first week of 2022. But actually, shout out to Serious Issues, best of the year podcast on the last day of the year. I'm not sure if you have it edited up by then, but we recorded it on the 31st, and that's what counts. So
just in case any comics came out that we had to read,
we did it.
Just in case a chapter of My Hero Academia came out to change that flipped my opinion of it.
Yeah, Wine Mums still chugging. We got a best of the year. That's just Wine Mums podcast, anywhere or nowhere, depending on your preference.
I look forward to that in the new year. This is going to be the last episode of Serious Issues in this current format. I know I may have, like, gotten ahead of myself during lockdown. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to bring back Serious Issues as a weekly podcast again. And I kept it up for 10 weeks. But then lockdown ended and I had to work and I had to take my kids to school and I had to just, you know, be a dad and balancing all my insane podcast commitments. It's going to be a very different year for me in 2022. I will not be doing a weekly Serious Issues show. But the cool news is that Joel Zammit from Sans Pants Radio and the many podcasts that he hosts with Sans Pants, because he's like kind of like the dad of Sans Pants, even though he has no real children. You are his children, dear listener. He loved doing the episodes of Serious Issues. He loved an outlet to talk about comics every week, and he has decided that he is going to take over Serious Issues. Whoa. So Serious Issues will not end. In a new format, and I think I'll still pop up, you know, maybe once a month, once every couple of weeks as a guest, because I will still be reading way too much manga, which I'll also be talking about on my podcast, Hey Fam, which I host with Angus Truscott. That'll still be doing two episodes every single week, because for some reason that one never feels like work, but Serious Issues sometimes can. I think it's like when I'm reading like a big long series and loving that. And then I'm like, oh God, I have to read something else so I can talk about something new on the podcast. That really feels like work. But hey, if you also liked best of 2021 episodes, you should head over to sanspenceradio.com. And my other podcast there is called All the Small Games. And next week, we are doing a Best Indie Games of 2021 episode. It'll be my first episode recording with John, my co-host, in over a year, like face-to-face, because we've been doing the entire thing over Zoom, which has just been not the best. But so very much looking forward to spending many hours in my hot office drinking beers and talking about video games with him soon. So yeah, you can find all of the podcasts that I do over at sanspenceradio.com. Look forward for new news about Serious Issues in the new year, courtesy of Joel Zammit. Listen to Wine Mums. Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you for having me, as always.
It's been a pleasure. I knew that was like the big thing. I was like, I have to do just one last all manga episode with Chloe. and we'll insert other people talking about Western comics so we don't have to. But hey, I have three more special guests, or at least two of them. I have the best comics as chosen by Joel Zammit, Jackson Bailey, and maybe Joel Dooster if he gets it to me in time. I did say by the end of the year, and there's technically, as we record, 11 hours left of it, so who knows what'll happen. But at the very least, I can offer you Joel and Jackson doing their best comics of the year, and I dare say you'll hear all three of them contributing to serious issues next year and into the future after that. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and contributing to our community on Facebook. If you want to join it, it's at facebook.com/group/serious issues podcast, or you can join the Sans Pants Discord and talk about comics in there. I really appreciate all the interactions that I have with each of you. It's been a real fun time, you know, doing this podcast on and off for... How many years has it been? God, like, I feel, is this six. Podcast as old as... It's older than my daughter. So yeah, it must be six years. This does feel like a goodbye of sorts, but I'll still be involved in the podcast in some way. And I'll always love comics and will always want to talk about them. So you definitely haven't heard the last of me. But thank you so much. I hope you have an excellent New Year's Eve, a wonderful 2022. And I'll see you at some point in that 2022, that is. I look forward to ruining sentences many, many more times in the future. Thank you so much.
The legacy never dies.
And to Chloe. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
There have been many great comics this year, and sure, I could talk for ages about my love of the X-Men, and given time, I will. There was the status quo-changing planet-sized X-Men where the mutants terraformed Mars, called it Aroka, and made the claim that it was the capital of the Sol system, which has pissed off a lot of humans, and I don't really know why. I mean, they weren't using it. There's the X of Swords X-Over, which I really liked, as it was a big bait-and-switch and didn't give me what I thought I wanted, but instead gave me something I enjoyed. Then there's the continuation of what Hickman set up in his Hox Pox run with Inferno, with the return of Destiny and a bunch of people learning about Moira's secret, and I'm excited to see where that goes. Some of the individual X books have been better than the others, with two I would highly recommend, The Hellions and X Factor. And so sure, I could pick any number of these and say, hey, this was my best read of 2021, but no. My pick for 2021 is a late contender. Issue 1 only came out in November, and that's Hulk by Donny Cates, only because it does what comics do best, and that is to shit the bed right off the bat. You see, so this is coming off Al Ewing's incredible 4-year run on Immortal Hulk, which dealt with Bruce Banner's childhood trauma, the one above all, the Green Door, he goes to hell. It made Hulk scary and amped up the horror, and it all came together in issue 50, ending with Bruce and Hulk in such a beautiful place thematically. A few months later, if not just the next month, the new Hulk comes out, and they've turned Hulk into a spaceship. And it's that shit right there, that's why I love comics. Serve me a delicious 4-course meal, then spit directly in my open mouth. Thank you, comics. I love you.
Hey everybody, Jackson here. Let's talk through some of my favorite comic books that I read in 2021. Not all of them were released this year, but I read them all this year. From Mike Mignola and the Hellboy universe, I talked about it on the show, Sarah Jewell, House of Lost Horizons. You want to see a Hellboy version of like an Agatha Christie sort of story? Here it is. It ruled. There was also the Silver Lantern Club, Hellboy and the Silver Lantern Club, which was released later in the year, which is kind of a sort of Hellboy meets, or doesn't meet, but hears about the adventures of all the other members of the Silver Lantern Club, such as Sarah Jewell and Edward Gray Witchfinder. So it was a kind of like a bit of flashbacky, a bit of exploring these characters a little bit further in kind of small self-contained stories. For stories that aren't in the Hellboy universe, I really enjoyed Night of the Ghoul, which is written by Scott Snyder, published by Best Jacket Press, which is just a kind of interesting, weird, spooky story about a lost film and a ghoul, of course. But it was really good, really, really sort of great art, spooky concept, really good read. And then a book that it definitely was not released in 2021, but I read the first two volumes of it this year, is The King of Flies by, what the heck was their names? Mezzo and Pyrrhus. It's a sort of black and white, surreal, suburban, not horror, but I don't know. It's very unpleasant and very strange. Just kind of these various characters in a neighborhood intertwining with a kind of unsettling vibe. I don't know how to describe it, really. Everything's normal, but everything's also absolutely not. So I really recommend that. I think it's released by Fantagraphic Press. And yeah, those were the books that I read in 2021. I read a whole bunch of other crap. Those are the only ones I remember. Happy New Year!
Hey, what's up, Serious Issues? It's me, Joel Dusha, and I am here to tell you about the frankly fucked up comics I've been reading this year. So, unlike some of the fucking nerds on this show, I don't really dip that much into superhero comics, at least not of recent, and I much prefer, I guess more like either independent stuff, or, to be honest, this year, a lot of manga. So, shouts to Andrew Levins for getting me into Junji Ito, because I have read a shit ton of it this year. That includes, like, Fragments of Horror, which is a short story collection, and features probably my favorite fictional character, Tomio, a man so horny that he fucks a witch, who then immediately cuts his head off, and he has to deal with the consequences of that. I also read Uzumaki, Gyo, and Remina. So, Uzumaki is a fucking classic for a reason. Gyo I also really, really liked, which is weird because it's not seen as a, I guess like a huge staple in the Junji Ito series, at least as far as I can tell online. And I know, again, Levins didn't stay with him as much as me, but I think about it a lot. And if you're looking for, I guess, like a way to dip into a long-form Junji Ito book, but you don't want to commit to like the 700 pages of Uzumaki, I would definitely recommend Gyo. But as for other stuff I've been reading, I've also been focusing a lot on, I guess, like, webcomics, which, to be honest, like, weird webcomics and, like, fucked up joke stuff, that's way more up my alley. So I've been reading a lot of Swan Boy and Branson Reese's book, Hell Was Full. Both of those are so good. I love Branson Reese so much. I read End of the World, which I spoke about on the show, which is a far more depressing, I guess, kind of webcomic thing. Don Hertzfeld is an absolute king of this stuff. I'd recommend checking out any of his short films. They're so good. But the big thing for me this year, and the best thing I read by such a significant margin, and the thing that I usually cannot shut the fuck up about, has to be Alec Robbins' Mr. Boop series, which is, if you're unfamiliar, the story of a man who is married to Betty Boop. It's, I think, 100... It's either 75 or 100 issues. It is chronicled on his Instagram. Absolutely go and read it. He sells 4 hard copies of it as well, divided into 4 volumes. And I can't get it here in Australia, and every single day I wake up and realize that I still cannot buy it is a day I'm in absolute agony. It is so good and has such an insane payoff and is so funny. I'd recommend everyone check it out. And yeah, whatever everyone else said is their best thing of the year, I also agree. Anyway, catch you around.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.